stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Health Information Technology Conference. Just as a reminder, today's call is being recorded. And now at this time for opening remarks, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marguerite Schaefer. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. So happy that you were able to attend the call this morning. On behalf of the HCCP department here at iPro, I want to say welcome. We're going to start with a brief overview on the ACE scope of work. Some of you may be familiar with that information, some may not. So for those that have not heard it, I will try to be as brief as possible, and then we'll move into the real information portion of this conference call, which has to do with health information technology. And that presentation will be given by Zainab Samir, who is the project director for our department and working with the acute care hospitals across New York State on preparedness and implementation of health information technology. If you have not had an opportunity, the slides for today's presentation are on jenny.ipro.org, and you can just scroll down to the Health Information Technology Forum and click on it, and you'll get the slides. If you have any difficulty, please let us know. We also on that site have an evaluation that is posted that we would appreciate your filling out at the end of the call, because we do look for your feedback so that we can use that information to basically improve presentations as we move forward. I'm sure that all of you are aware that the ACE scope of work began August 1st, and we've, you know, hit the ground running with trying to educate hospitals across the state on the work that we're going to be doing in the ACE scope. The vision for the ACE scope, which is clearly aligned with IHI's 100,000 Lives campaign, JCO's, and I'm sure, you know, all hospitals throughout New York State and the healthcare industry at large, is a healthcare system which every person receives the right care every time, and where care is safe, effective, patient-centered, timely, efficient, and equitable, and where providers have the tools and resources to deliver that care, and that's where we come in. We'd like to try to help you with the development of tools and resources to achieve the goal of transformational change that will accelerate quality improvement. What is staying the same and what's changing? I'd really like to clarify that for all of you. The clinical topic areas going into the ACE scope of work will remain the same, and they are acute myocardial infarction, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. All hospitals across the state are invited to participate in any of the work that we're doing on those particular topics. There have been some modifications to those topics, but they will remain the same. And they will remain the same for public reporting. iPro will continue, as I said, to offer statewide support on all of this work, with a special emphasis on surgical infection prevention. What is staying the same is hopefully our relationship with the hospitals and the work that we have done in the past. We will continue to work in and with collaborative groups, small cohorts of hospitals interested in focusing on a particular topic area. We are going to host regional meetings and educational conferences, and we also have an online community of practice, which we will continue to use. That has been very beneficial to the work that we've done in the past. The CART tool is going to be expanded. A new version is due out. In fact, I believe it's been posted to QNET as of last night, and we'll be sharing that information with you and offering technical assistance if any of the hospitals want to use it, especially for the surgical infection prevention project. What is changing? There is a new focus on transformational change, especially looking at preparedness and the adoption of IT solutions, which we will, you know, cover later on in the call. We are also going to work to involve senior management. And we are going to be asking senior management actually to sign a memorandum of agreement to work on some of these projects. The information on the ACE scope of work and the focus in various areas has been sent directly to CEOs across the state as well as medical directors, and of course all the information is always shared with the HCCP liaisons in the hospitals. What is changing is that we are going to work with identified participant groups, and very much like the collaboratives that we've had in the past, it's just a new name. And it'll be small cohorts of hospitals that are interested in looking at a particular topic of interest, and I'll explain what the IPGs are. We're going to be working in the collaboratives, I guess, with about 30 to 40 hospitals. And some of you may have already been or have participated in collaboratives in the seventh scope of work. So we are going to continue to use that IHI methodology as well as other strategies. The identified participant groups, are, one of them is the appropriate care measure. We're going to be focusing on the same measures that you are currently collecting data for and public reporting on. That will not change. So it's the five AMI measures, the two heart failure measures, and the three pneumonia measures. That will not change. The second IPG group that we'll be focusing on is Surgical Care Improvement Project. We'll be looking at the three indicators that we looked at during the seventh scope of work, timeliness to antibiotics, choice and discontinuation, with an additional couple of indicators looking at VTE, prevention of emboli. The next IPG will be systems improvement and organizational culture change, and this is geared for all hospitals across the state to look at, prepare, and adopt new technologies to improve outcomes. And we're focusing on the IT technologies of COPE, barcoding, and telehealth. The next IPG group that will be started will be organizational safety culture change. And this is basically geared toward the critical access in rural hospitals. We're going to be using a survey that has been developed by CMS and will be shared with all the hospitals to really evaluate the safety culture within their organizations and determine where they would like to put their efforts in terms of improvement strategies. How's iPro going to support the work that we'll be doing in the A scope of work through the use of tools and technologies, strategic planning, quality improvement initiatives customized to meet each of the hospital's needs? Through the use of our online community server, Jenny, through staff presentations, we have toolkits that have been developed through technical assistance, web training, etc. In terms of your commitment, we are going to be looking for the support and the buy-in from senior management, and that will be, again, looking for CEOs of acute care hospitals to sign a memorandum of agreement in terms of the work that we'll be doing with the specific IPGs. We would ask, certainly, for the formation of interdisciplinary teams and the development of strategies for the work that will be carried out. We are also going to encourage participation at educational conferences, teleconferences and learning sessions, etc. Very important, again, that you carry the information back to senior management when you have an opportunity, because we are very much interested in getting their buy-in. It has been clearly demonstrated that with senior management buy-in and involvement in the quality improvement efforts that organizations undertake, you are much more likely to succeed if they're involved from the get-go. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Zainab Samir, who is the project director for our HIT IPG, and she's going to give you a great deal of in-depth information on how this IPG will work. Thank you.
Thanks, Peggy. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us. This call is, we had a repeat of this call earlier this week, and I just want to clarify the objectives of it once again, just so that everybody is clear. And then I also want to introduce our team that we have in the room for this call if you should have any questions. I would like to take some time to introduce the HIT project, IPRO's HIT project, that will be going on for the next 2.5 or so years. And I won't be focusing too much on the technical information on the technologies we'll be talking about in those 2 years, but I will give a little brief overview. What I really hope you all take away from this is, and back to your senior management or your teams, is exactly what iPro will offer to you and your teams if you decide you want to participate in this project. And I hope that after listening to this presentation, you do decide that this is something that, that would be of use to your team. In the room with me, as you already met, you have I have Marguerite Schaefer, and she's the overall project director for the hospital project at iPro. And in addition to her, we have Sue Columbus, who's an expert health information technology person on staff. We're very lucky to have her. She has extensive experience in implementing health information technology systems like CPOE and barcoding in the hospital setting, as well as electronic health records in the ambulatory care setting. And if you should have any questions to direct to her, to me, or to Peggy, please specify that during the Q&A period. I want to talk a little bit more about transformational change that Peggy mentioned. It's one of those buzzword concepts that we're hearing more and more about in the quality improvement field. And it's also something that CMS has really been trying to drive home. If you have the slides, this is slide one. And in addition to talking about transformational change, I want to talk about what the role of hospital leadership is in creating and promoting transformational change in hospitals. I think these two are very much related, and our projects in this eighth scope of work will deal from the top to the bottom, so it's really important to define what leadership's role is. Going on to the second slide about transformational change. When I think of transformational change as a concept and trying to apply to the work I'll be doing in the eighth scope of work, I see it as trying to help providers, and in this case hospitals, achieve strategic systems-level changes, higher levels of improvement, and in more acceptable lengths of time rather than spending decades doing it. And I think the reason we've come to this point in quality improvement is, and I think it is a turning point, is interesting to look at. As a QIO, we started off, as many of you know, as peer review organizations, and that was, as I see it, phase one of quality improvement. Then in the seventh scope of work, sixth and seventh scope of work, we were looking at national quality improvement projects, which I would define more at an incremental level of change. And now we're moving into transformational change. And I think a lot of the reason for this is because quality has always been a concern for hospitals and for us, but now it's also the central concern for purchasers and policymakers, and it's getting there on the front page news. It's also, we all agree, I think, that current levels of safety, effectiveness, cost in healthcare are just unacceptable. And lastly, there's, as the IOM report and many others have written about, there's a substantial gap between what we know is good practice and what we actually practice, and mainly because of poor systems, not because of poor caregivers. So those are what I would see as components of transformational change. And the way that CMS defines it is that it's change that pursues the Institute of Medicine's six aims, which is healthcare that is safe, efficient, effective, equitable, timely, and patient-centered. And we hope to make IT a part of your strategy for achieving these goals. As for hospital leadership, I think it's really important to define this, and I know that hospital leadership is always trying to find new ways of aligning their goals with everyday work that their staff do. And it's of highest strategic importance to communicate those goals and purposes of the organization to hospital staff at all levels, and to establish work teams and work processes of those practices that are in line with the goals. The next slide, which is slide five, I've listed some characteristics of what I think are forward-thinking leaders, and I think many leaders at all the hospitals that are online and in New York State have all of these. But what I really wanted to emphasize is that having these doesn't and it, relative to health information technology, doesn't always mean that forward-thinking leaders have, you know, implemented the most cutting-edge technology. That's not where we're at today. I think it's important to take time as a leader to think about what's going on currently in your organization and to plan strategically. And this may take 5-10 years before implementing. Okay, so I'm on to the next slide, and I want to talk a little bit about our project goals. And we're calling this the Health Information Technology Project. CMS and the AIDS Scope of Work is calling it the Systems Improvement and Organizational Culture Change Project. It's part of a national initiative, again, sponsored by CMS, that hopes to encourage hospitals in the use of health information technology as a key component of the interventions they implement to improve quality of care, patient safety, and patient outcomes. Introduction of new information technology systems, including adoption of telehealth, barcoding, and computerized physician order entry, which is what we'll be focusing on, involves major organizational change. So CMS recognizes this and that this kind of transformation requires months and years of planning and education and training. So they've asked the quality improvement organizations and IPRO in New York State to assist hospitals in assessing readiness, developing plans and strategies for adoption and effective use of HIT elements, and then actually implementing that. So specifically what we hope to do is work with you on completing assessment tools and then actually taking a look at every system in your hospital to assess your current systems and evaluate existing infrastructure. This is a really important point. Many hospitals already have lots of electronic systems in their facilities. And it may seem like if you're going to think about purchasing and using a let's say, CPOE system, you have to start from scratch. When in fact, what we could start doing is looking at what you already have and see if we can make some small changes to existing infrastructure to make your disparate systems talk to each other and see if we can leverage what you already have to achieve something better in terms of information technology rather than purchasing something expensive and time-consuming to implement. So that's one aspect of the project. The other aspect is if you do want to start from scratch, we'll assess, again, your current processes and help you change them and choose the most appropriate technology according to those processes and plan for implementation. I'll talk a little bit more about exactly what IPRO will plan to do towards the end of the presentation. But first I want to define what we're talking about when we say health information technology. People have been throwing this term around for a few years now, HIT this and HIT that. And so I just want to define it formally, and that's on the next slide. And what it refers to is the development, installation, and implementation of computer-based systems and applications that allow the electronic collection, storage, transport, analysis, and use of patient clinical information that guides the healthcare provider in the healthcare industry. And specifically in this project, we'll be focusing on three technologies, and hospitals will not have to implement or think about all three, but just if you already have a plan for one of the three, then with your hospital, we'll focus on that one. If you do not, then it's always great to hear about all the different technologies out there so you can make the most educated decision in what you want to implement. And those are CPOE, or computerized physician order entry, barcoding at the point of care, and telemedicine. So starting with CPOE, what this technology does is it allows physicians to enter patient orders into a computer instead of handwriting them. And these orders can be for medication, radiology, or labs. And what this does is it really reduces errors in caused by illegible written orders and handwriting errors. It reduces transcription and dispensing errors significantly. It minimizes duplicate testing, and It's often also supported or interfaced with an additional clinical decision support system, so it further minimizes patient medical errors and increases patient safety. excuse me. Another thing that we've heard, feedback we've heard from hospitals that have already implemented CPOE is that it's increased their physician and nursing satisfaction exponentially. It's reduced the amount of time they've had to spend in entering or submitting orders. It's also taken a lot of stress off of them, burden off of them, having to remember things that that they may have left out of a patient order, and overall, it's just increased staff satisfaction and has attracted, from the feedback we've gotten, attracted a great deal of high-quality staff to organizations who've implemented it and saved a lot of money. The second technology I want to talk about is barcode-enabled point-of-care technology, or BPOC. What BPOC does is it uses existing barcode technology to order, prepare, and administer medications to patients. And actually, I was talking to Suzanne, who's in the room today, about an implementation she has experience with at the NARS Cancer Center in Los Angeles. And from her experience, it was a 3-year implementation. And I think barcoding is highly underrated, but according to this facility, they decreased their medication errors by 96% in 3 years, I think if nothing else, is should be the only selling point for this technology. Again, it is time-consuming and resource-laden in its implementation. For example, a lot of medications don't have barcoding on packages, so hospitals that do decide to transition to this technology often have to repackage certain medications to include the barcode. But once in place, the system really does help to reduce medication errors, adverse drug reactions, and promote patient safety. It also helps hospitals enhance their inventory control of medications, helps with utilization management, and again, the feedback we've gotten is that it helps increase nurse job satisfaction and enhances work efficiency. The last technology that we'll be working with in this project is telemedicine or telehealth. And this generally appeals to a lot of rural health hospitals who may not have the staff on hand full time to cover all departments or specialties. In its definition, the use of electronic information and telecommunication technologies to support and promote long-distance health care. It's also often used for CME for physicians and nurses. And it's mainly been used, the most experience has been in teleradiology, having remote sites send radiology to perhaps urban sites that do have radiologists on hand that can use that and send it back in a timely manner. So in looking at the benefits of it, it improves accessibility to specialty care where maybe there isn't any. It's cost-effective and efficient in especially rural health settings, and it's also an innovative way to practice CME. Those are the three technologies that hospitals will be able to choose from. And I want to talk a little bit now about what we promise to do for this project and for participating hospitals. And the major focus of this is that we'll be providing you with expert speakers and expert assistants in all three technologies, supporting your staff in developing a comprehensive implementation plan. We'll be helping your hospital leadership to develop a motivating vision and a business case for HIT based on your current systems. We'll help you in developing a customized and realistic implementation plan which involves all staff. We'll help you evaluate your current infrastructure and workflow processes, and we'll will help you to identify any barriers to implementation that you might have. We'll do this through providing you with educational sessions on a group and one-on-one level on infrastructure requirements, funding opportunities, day-to-day staffing requirements, all the systems, available systems and applications that are out there. We'll provide you with successful implementation examples, so we'll put you in touch with any hospitals that have already done this and might be able to tell you about some of the barriers that they've come across, and we'll facilitate any network partnerships that are available out there. And as Peggy mentioned, we'll continue using Jenny, which is our online community forum, to assist you and to get you to collaborate with any peers that that might be at the same level as you. And we'll provide, as I said, expert presentations, IPRO and CMS toolkits, technical assistance, and any WebEx or web-based trainings. What we need from you in order to participate in this project is dedication, support, and active participation from hospital leadership. Again, this will require a top-down component to for it to work. Otherwise, I don't think something this large can be successful. And in addition to that, we're going to be helping you to assess where your organization is at. And part of this will require a written readiness assessment. And this will be done twice, once at the beginning of the project to see where you're currently at, and once at the end to see how far you've come. It'll require active participation from all team members on conference calls, educational learning sessions, and WebEx trainings. And in addition to that, we ask that any hospitals that would like to participate in the project are collecting data on the CMS 10 measure data set and submitting that data to the QIO clinical data warehouse. And lastly, a signed letter of participation from your CEO. And that's it for now, and the last slide has my contact information as well as Dr. Charlie Stimler's contact information. He's the medical officer for this project, and any questions that you might have on other hospital projects or this one, please do not hesitate to contact us. But before we end the call, I want to open it up for any questions that you might have on the project, on the AIDS scope of work, or anything else you'd like to discuss. Operator, can you open it up for questions?
Thank you. If anyone in the audience has a question or comment today, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. For those of you joining us today using speakerphones, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, to the audience, please press star, then 1 if you have a question or comment. We'll pause for just a moment. We'll hear from Dale Spellman of Sheehan Memorial Hospital.
Hi.
Hi.
We were wondering if you have an audio or video copy of this call, or audio call?
Yes, we will. I'll have an audio recording of this call, and if you like, we can either post it to Jenny or, and we'll also, actually, yes, we'll post it to Jenny as soon as we get it.
Okay.
Probably be a couple of days, maybe early next week.
Very good.
Anything further, Mr. Spellman?
Not yet.
I throw out a question to people that are on the line, some of the hospitals that are on the line. Would anyone like to share with the group whether or not they have CPOE or barcoding or telehealth in place, and maybe share some of your own experiences in terms of those applications?
Again, that is star 1. We'll go to Nancy Valentine Adams of Jacoby Medical Center.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy, your line is open. Please check your mute function.
Nancy, did you have a question?
Nancy, again, we are unable to hear you. Please check your mute function.
Actually, I'm glad to know that Nancy's actually on the line. That means we have representation from the Health and Hospital Corporation, and they have or are thinking about or have they have a CPOE system, and I know that if there is anybody else from the HHC system that would be willing to share your experience using that system, or if you're a part of that implementation, talking about the implementation process and any pain points or any successes that you've had, that'd be really beneficial, I think, to
and the
people
feedback
who are to people who are considering CPOE as a technology. And if nobody has any of these three technologies in place already, if you are considering one over another, if you could also let us know what made you decide or what was the motivation in deciding one over the other and why you're thinking about it.
We'll attempt to hear again from Nancy Valentine Adams. Nancy, your line is open. Nancy, if you could please depress your mute function or pick up the handset, please. We are still unable to hear you.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what was going on with that mute function. I was trying and trying. Jacobi has a CPOE program, and I think there's been, I know the pharmacy department has some very good information on how successful that's been. And I know that there are some telemedicine also programs, I think, with dermatology and also with our stroke patients being able to look at CTs and that. So that's all I wanted to say. Hello?
Thank you very much, Nancy. Do you you have any sense of how the staff views the technology?
I think they've found that it's very helpful, you know, we're you know, knowing that there is a safety net for medication, recognition of medication errors before, you know, before they have a chance to occur, I think is the main benefit with the CPOE.
And how do you deal with things like packaging that Zainab had brought up earlier?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure if I can answer that.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Nancy, or anyone else out there that may already have CPOE or, again, barcoding in place. If you were to, obviously we're always trying to improve and expand what we're doing if it's working. If you were to expand or improve your use of your CPOE system, what do you think, where are you currently using it and how would you extend its use? Or are you considering extending its use?
I don't know. You know, I'm sorry, I just can't answer that. I don't know what the potential is out there for expansion. I assume that the people in pharmacy probably have some ideas, but I don't personally know. So, you know, some particular information on what's out there probably would be worth looking at.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much for sharing that information with us.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments?
As a final reminder to our audience today, that is star, then one, if you do have a question or comment.
Okay, I guess we did a very, very good job in explaining all of this.
I'm sorry, pardon the interruption, ladies. We've had a question queue up, if you'd like to take that.
Great.
That comes from Shermaine Cross of Woodhull Hospital.
Hi, Shermaine.
Yes, hi, good morning. Very interesting conversation. Thank you very much for inviting us. I have two questions. We have some surgical staff around the table, so I would like you to expand, if you can, on the 8th scope of work dealing with surgical infection prevention. And then we had another question from one of our staff members in terms of the decision-making in deciding which systems the hospital would use in terms of being the most suitable approach amongst the three HIT programs.
Could we focus on the HIT one first?
Absolutely.
So that we can stay on topic. And then we'd be happy to answer the surgical infections.
Okay.
As well.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, we just wanted you to, in terms of decision making, I know as a network we also have CPOE, but unfortunately we don't have the right staff to address it in full, but we do agree that in terms of medication error reduction, it plays a huge part. I'm aware that pharmacy also uses the program Pyxis. I'm not sure whether it's related or not, but in terms of those programs, I know most of HEC hospitals have already adapted to those particular programs. But in terms of what is IPROD saying to hospitals, or what would they say to hospitals to encourage them to select one out of the three, have you seen one being any better out of the three, or do you have any information based on that, or are most hospitals using all three?
Well, the answer to that is actually what we're trying to do is evaluate each hospital on its own. We're trying to do a custom evaluation to see what solutions may be the most appropriate for your facility.
And I just to add to that, all three of these technologies were chosen or are you know, up there in terms of their popularity because they're all extremely powerful tools. And it's just a matter of what is right for which hospital. And the HAC system is kind of ahead of the game in that you've already implemented CPOE, and it's just a matter of expanding it to other departments, perhaps. And so it's just going to depend on what works best for your hospital. If we look 30 years down the line, I see all hospitals having all three of these.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. And what about cost? Does anyone have any information based on cost, primarily with the barcoding and the telemedicine, is it?
Yes. Those are the less costly solutions when you compare them to CPOE.
The amount of staff that will need to be supported, who's going to be rolled out to. So realistically,
manufacturers.
To give you an overall estimate, probably wouldn't be appropriate. We'd have to see if it was an enterprise solution or if it were just specifically to your hospital being Woodhull, whether or not you're going to integrate a barcode with an electronic medication administration record. So to answer that, we would probably have to do a little bit of an evaluation and then maybe discuss an overall financial business type plan.
Case for you.
Business case.
And again, these are things that are time consuming, and that's exactly what we're very lucky to have this opportunity to prepare during this time and answer those questions for each hospital.
And that's part of working on an overall implementation plan, which is the key emphasis of the work that we're going to be doing. Because this is not something that any institution can do in a matter of months or even a year. It is a process that is going to take time and is involvement from a lot of the different, staff members throughout your institution to prepare for full implementation of something like this. And we're charged with assisting you to do that and taking the right course of action for your hospital.
Okay, so I hope that answers your question. And if not, please let us know. As for the surgical question?
Yes, I believe that the antibiotic selection is no longer one of the elements. Is their goal to add a third, replacing the antibiotic selection, or would just be two within 1 hour and discontinuation within 24 hours?
Well, the last iteration that we received from CMS did include the appropriate selection of prophylactic antibiotics. The SCIP project, the SIP project that was called during the seventh scope of work, has been greatly expanded. It is going to include, thus far, and I'm not saying that this might not change over the next several weeks, but currently we're going to be looking at timely prophylaxis, antibiotic choice, as well as discontinuation within 24 hours post-surgery. Now, I do believe one of the changes that is going to come down the pike is that for the cardiac surgeries, it will be 48 hours. Now, in addition to those, there are other measures, expanded measures, that have been included in the SIP project, and they're controlling perioperative serum glucose among patients who are undergoing cardiac surgery. They're also looking at appropriate hair removal, and that would be clipping versus shaving, that kind of thing. Also, normothermia among colorectal surgery patients. And there are a couple of others. In terms of the cardiovascular indicators, now these are optional measures at this point for hospitals to focus on. But for major non-cardiac surgery patients, they're looking to see who received beta blockers during the perioperative period. And if they were maintained on beta blockers prior to surgery, and intra and postoperative AMI diagnosed during the hospitalization and within 30 days of surgery, cardiac arrest being diagnosed during the hospitalization and also within 30 days of surgery. Now, the measures for the SCIP project that we'll be focusing on are the three SIP measures: antibiotic prophylaxis in a timely manner, choice, and discontinuation. And we're also going to be looking at, included in the SCIP project, will be thromboembolism prophylaxis. And that's going to include medication, also the compression stockings, et cetera. There are going to be other test measures that you can collect information on, and that's the intra- and postoperative pulmonary embolism and deep vein thrombosis. In terms of respiratory care, looking at postoperative orders and documentation if patients are intubated, having the head of the bed elevated by 30 or 45 degrees, postoperative ventilator-associated pneumonia during the hospitalization postoperatively, peptic ulcer disease prophylaxis, and ventilator weaning protocols. There's also a vascular access permanent hospital, ESRD vascular access procedures, for AV fistulas, and mortality rates within 30 days post-surgery, and then readmission within 30 days. Now, there is a national project that is underway that's going to look at any or all of these clinical topics. And for CMS, the QIOs are being encouraged. We were originally going to look at all four of these areas: infection, cardiovascular complications, thromboembolism, and the respiratory. But that has been reduced to looking at just the infection components, the three major ones, and then the additional measures or test measures at this point, and then looking at the thromboembolic prophylaxis. So those are the two that we are going to be focusing on. Certainly, hospitals that have a large number of cardiovascular surgery that they're responsible for, they may very well want to look at the other measures as well. We don't also have final information in terms of what specific surgical procedures we're going to be looking at. For the original SIP indicators of choice, timeliness, and discontinuation, it's going to be the surgical procedures that were included for those under the seventh scope of work, which is your cardiac surgery, bowel, hip and knee replacement, and I believe some of the OBGYN procedures, hysterectomy, etc. In terms of the thromboembolism prophylaxis, I'm really not sure how expansive that list for surgical procedures is going to be. But I think it's a pretty kind of all-inclusive list in terms of surgery. The one prerequisite will be that hospitals will have to do at least 300 major surgical procedures per year. Again, I'm not sure what CMS will define as a major surgical procedure. We are going to be hosting two calls in October. They are listed on Jenny, the dates, the call-in number, and the time. and we're going to be going over the surgical infection prevention project in much more detail at that time. Dr. Stimler is going to do an in-depth presentation on the SCIP project. The date for the first call is October 6th at 10 a.m. The call-in number will be the same as it is for today's call. And then there will be another one on October 11th at 3 o'clock. So I would encourage you to relay that message to your surgical teams and invite them to listen in and participate and come with any questions that they may have. We will post all of, we record all the conference calls, and they will be posted to Jenny so that people can listen in and re-listen to what is said in case they, you know, have questions afterwards or, you know, they're not clear about something. So I hope that addresses the question, and we'll take any further questions that anybody may have.
We'll hear from Dale Spellman of Sheehan Memorial Hospital.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi, this is Maureen from Health Information. I got a couple of questions. First of all, once we get into the project, are we going to be provided a listing of all those that are participating in the project?
Yes, absolutely. That's actually part of our main strategy, is to help you facilitate this collaboration between hospitals.
Okay, and after the project is on the way, and then once you determine how it's working, then does that mean that all other facilities will have to be implementing this process, or is it going to be whether you want to or not?
Well, you're talking about implementing an HIT system?
Yes.
The goal of the project is not
implementation.
Not implementation at the end of it. This is something we just want to explore whether this is something that's feasible for you immediately or maybe in the long term. We want to look at your readiness. We want to look at what would be appropriate to implement. There is no pressure to implement within the 2 years. There's absolutely no pressure. The process is just to learn a little bit more about what's out there, learn a little bit more about what's going on internally, and to decide what's most appropriate for you.
Okay.
Our goal is to assist hospitals through education, through sharing of information, through having presentations from hospitals that already have things like barcoding or CPOE in place, to share information with hospitals that are preparing to implement these IT strategies. As we said, it's not something that you can do in a year's period of time or even a year and a half. It takes a lot of planning by the whole corporate structure, you know, of your hospital. And we hope to be able to get you to, at least at the end of 2 years, have a pretty cohesive strategy for the inevitability of implementing something that will work best for your institution.
Okay. Will there also be then like a comparison of who may be using whatever systems or a combination of systems, and then the others will get that information to see if maybe they want to implement those as well?
Yes,
absolutely. We've already begun to sort of inventory what's going on in the state with all the hospitals, whether they're rural hospitals or acute care facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to compile that information into something that's user-friendly and make it available to all participating hospitals, definitely.
And, you know, truthfully, we've begun to realize that many hospitals are using some form of IT already.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we'd like to explore is how to spread what they're already doing within their institutions. And so that's another component of it. People have a lot already in place that they're not even aware of that they can actually use in different ways.
Okay. One additional question. Are there, like, any questions or any kind of an evaluation tool for these three processes to maybe determine which one may or may not be better for any particular facility?
Well, we do have an evaluation tool. Yes, we do. Next part of what we're going to be doing.
We actually, and this is something I didn't really get into too much, we actually, for the benefit of all the hospitals on the line, we have a whole process that's already been validated by other people who try to who have implemented, both, again, in the hospital setting as well as the ambulatory care setting. And we call it our implementation roadmap. It's anywhere from, it starts with assessment and planning, selection of a system, to organizational restructuring, and then eventually evaluating your system and changing it based on what you've learned and developing a plan for maintenance and quality improvement.
And that system selection includes a comparison of the various systems and the appropriateness for your facility.
Right. And that would also, I mean, that would be throughout, starting with the assessment phase. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Nancy Valentine Adams from Jacoby Medical Center has a follow-up question.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi there. This is just a housekeeping question. I can't find the presentation on the Jenny site.
Okay, great. thanks for asking, because I think there was a little trouble before, too.
Okay.
Okay, you don't type in www. It's J-E-N-Y.
No, I got to I'm at the site.
Okay, for the benefit of others, jeny.ipro.org. And then you click on Health Information Technology /Health Informatics. And then under that, we have two projects. One is physician office setting, and then the second in the hospital. The systems improvement project is in the hospital setting. So that's what you click on.
I see it. Thank you.
Great. And that's also where the evaluation form for this call is. Please do not forget to complete the evaluation and either email it or fax it to us as soon as you can. Any other questions?
Okay. Just to let you know, and I'll give people a minute to think if they've got anything else that they want to ask or to share. Upon the completion of these sort of introductory high-level overview calls, we have received to date probably about 80 responses from hospitals across the state who are interested in participating in one or more of these IPGs, collaboratives, whatever. And we are going, the staff here in the HCCP department are going to be reaching out to those contact people and following up with them in terms of their interest into individually with hospital teams answer any specific questions that they may have. And we're also going to be asking a few specific questions of the hospitals ourselves so that, you know, we can better determine how to move forward for the individual hospitals. So you can expect those calls. And in the interim, if you have any questions or any of your staff have questions, if you share any of the information you've gleaned today, you can log on to Jenny and post the question on the Jenny website. And if you have any trouble doing that, feel free to call or email any of us here at IPRO, Zainab, Suzanne, myself. It's our first initial last name at nyqio.sasam.org. And we'd be happy to talk with anyone. So are there any more questions? Okay, and if you would please remember to fill out the evaluation, we would really appreciate it. And I guess at this point we'll end the call, and I want to thank you all for your participation and for the questions and sharing with us. Thank you very much.
Again, that does conclude today's conference. Again, we thank you for joining us.